Good morning and welcome to our studies together. We appreciate so much your joining us, and we're glad to have you listening today. We hope that you can turn in your Bible right now to Luke chapter 9, because we're going to be reading verse 26 today. That is Luke chapter 9, verse 26. And we look at this lesson today with this question: are we ashamed of Jesus? Because that's what he talks about here in this passage. In Luke chapter 9, verse 26, Jesus said, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." You see, what Jesus thinks of us come the day of judgment is going to depend on what we think of him right now. So many times the Bible talks about this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "If we deny him, he will also deny us." And that's what Jesus said also in Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him shall I deny before my Father which is in heaven." In Revelation 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "The fearful shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone." So all these passages talk about someone who gives in to the fear of men, someone who is ashamed of Jesus and denies him or is unwilling to confess him because of that fear of being embarrassed. Now, why would anybody be ashamed for people to know that we follow Jesus? Why would that be an embarrassment to anybody? Well, there were some people in the days of Jesus that felt that way about him. In John chapter 12, verse 42, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So some people never become Christians because they're ashamed of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed of admitting that they want to obey him. They're ashamed of saying that they can't partake of sin because of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed even to go to church. So they don't want anything to do with Jesus. And what a sad thing that is. But that happened in Jesus' day, and it certainly happens today. They are people that just will not follow Jesus because they don't want people talking about them, and especially they don't want people ridiculing them or humiliating them in some way or laughing at them because they are Christians. And so they just refuse to follow Jesus. But then there are some people that become Christians. And as you live the Christian life, what you're going to find, of course, is that you are going to be talked about. You are going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed for following Jesus Christ. And there's some people that live the Christian life for a while, and they endure that criticism for a time, but then the pressure begins to get to them. They get tired of the ridicule. They get tired of the embarrassment. And the Bible says they endure for a while, but then when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they stumble. Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. But folks, ridicule is a part of being a Christian. Having people to point at you, having people to whisper behind your back, having people to give you the cold shoulder, having people to mock you and to be the brunt of a joke in front of people and having people to laugh at you at the workplace, well, that's a part of it. And sometimes it even happens in families. Sometimes a person is ridiculed by his own family, and that's when it really hurts. So the Bible says in Hebrews 10:33 that the Christians there became a spectacle. And the word spectacle in that passage means a theater. So it's like you're on a stage, and people are looking at you, and people are making fun of you. That happened in Jesus' day, and it's going to happen today. Now, Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was humiliated. And I don't just mean while he was hanging on the cross. Yes, there were people that looked at him and mocked him while he was being crucified. But I mean before that, Jesus was scorned. Jesus was laughed at. Jesus was called names. Jesus was lied about and misrepresented. And so if people did that to Jesus, they're going to do that to any and every Christian, to any and every follower of Jesus Christ. Now let me say this also about the idea of being ashamed of Jesus. It's usually pretty easy not to be ashamed of Jesus when you're at church. When people are talking about Jesus, when they're singing about Jesus, when everybody there is for you. But when you get into the world, it's a different situation where you risk the shame and the embarrassment of people making fun of you and mocking you and misrepresenting you. That's where you have to have courage, and that's where you really have to have faith in the Bible. Jesus said, "Whoever will be ashamed of me and of my words." Now that's very important to remember. Look at this passage again, Luke 9:26. "Whoever will be ashamed of me." Well, there are some people that are ashamed of Jesus Christ, some that refuse to follow him because of that, and others that have followed him, that have quit following him because they didn't want to live with the embarrassment. And so they're ashamed of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't just say, "Whoever will be ashamed of me," and then just leave it in a general sense. Jesus says, more specifically, "Whoever will be ashamed of me and of my words." Now, there are some people that will tell you, "Well, I'm not ashamed of Jesus." But if they were honest about it, they would have to tell you that they are ashamed of some things that Jesus has said. You know, it's one thing to say, "Well, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'll tell anybody about Jesus." But then when somebody says, "Well, what about what Jesus said over here?" And then the individual who's made that claim says, "Well, I don't want to talk about that," or they change the subject, or they'll say, "That's not what that really means." They just try to avoid that subject because they know that Jesus' words are controversial. Now, this is where the real test is. Many people are fine with Jesus as long as they can keep him quiet. They testify about Jesus. They praise Jesus in a church house. But they won't let him say much, even in their presence and even in their church. Why? Well, because they're ashamed. When it gets all down to it, folks, when it comes right down to what they really think, they're really ashamed and embarrassed about some of the things that Jesus said. You say, "Well, what could Jesus have possibly said that a person who claims to be a follower of Jesus might be embarrassed about, might be ashamed of?" Well, let's use a few examples here. It was our Lord Jesus himself who talked about hell. He preached on it more than anybody in the Bible. And Jesus said that hell is a place where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, and it is unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48. Well, we live in an age where some people don't want to hear about that. We live in an age where it has become not fashionable. It's not appropriate in some settings, according to the way that people think, to talk about hell anymore. And preachers who preach on hell are looked at as old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preachers who are really out of step and out of touch with modern society. Well, folks, sometimes it's good to be out of touch and out of step with modern society because it's modern society that is out of touch with and out of step with God. And so we need people who will go back to the Bible and who will teach and preach the Bible exactly as it's written. But I believe that there are preachers today who avoid preaching on hell because they just don't feel that that is in step, and they don't feel like that that is fitting in modern times. And I believe that there are also some members who hear a preacher preach in a church assembly, and if he will preach on hell, they're sitting back saying, "Oh, I wish he wouldn't say anything about that. I wish he wouldn't talk about that. That makes me uncomfortable, and that just doesn't sound fitting, and it doesn't sound up to date for us to be hearing about hellfire and brimstone." So what are they really thinking, if not saying? What they're really thinking is, "I'm ashamed of what Jesus said about those things. I wish that we wouldn't talk about that." Now, here's another passage of Scripture where Jesus talked about sin. And you know, Jesus did not hesitate to talk about sin and condemn it in direct fashion. The Bible says in Matthew 5:27 that Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever shall look upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And there are people today that would look at that passage and say, "Oh, but we shouldn't talk about that. Why, that's not appropriate to say things like that in a church assembly here in a mixed audience. Why, we just need to be more positive." What are they really saying? What they're really saying is they're ashamed of what Jesus said. They're ashamed of Jesus' words. And what about what Jesus said about divorce and remarriage? In Matthew chapter 19, we find the scribes and the Pharisees coming to Jesus, and they want to know about divorce. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause, that is, for any reason whatsoever? And Jesus gives the answer in Matthew 19:9. "And I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away, that is, divorce his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery, and whoso marrieth her, that is put away, doth commit adultery." People look at that today, and sometimes preachers avoid that passage because they know it's not popular. They know it's not in keeping with the standards of modern times. And when a preacher does preach on that passage, there are people who are sitting there saying, "Well, I wish you wouldn't say anything about that. That's going to embarrass somebody, or that's going to hurt somebody's feelings, or that's going to run somebody off." When it's Jesus' words. It's not our word. It's not the preacher's teaching. It's not the preacher's idea. It's Jesus' word. And the Bible tells the preacher to preach the word, not just parts of it, but all of it. So what are we saying about that passage? Are we ashamed of it? I'm afraid that there are people who are. And then what did Jesus say about salvation? The Bible says in John 14:6, that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Somebody said, "Well, if you were to preach verses like that, then you're going to offend some people. There are people that don't believe that. They don't believe in those passages. And so what you're going to do is to offend people. You're going to run people off." What are they saying? They're saying, yes, it's in the Bible, but we shouldn't talk about it. We should just silence Jesus and not let him say anything about those topics. They're saying, in effect, we're ashamed of what Jesus said. Now, folks, the Bible also tells us in John 12:48, "He that rejects me and receives not my words." Now, notice it again. We have Jesus himself and his words. There are people today who say, "Well, we just take Jesus and we interpret the Bible in light of Jesus, as if there's a separation there." Well, listen, folks, Jesus' words came from Jesus. And Jesus said, "If you reject me and you receive not my words, he has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And here in Luke 9:26, Jesus says in a similar vein, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." This is a strong and a very needed warning today, and I hope that we'll all lay it to heart. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.